Genesis 17, Genesis chapter 17. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the example of faith that you have shown us through your servant, Abraham. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we too, Lord, can view his life and see him as he is, Lord, and see how you work through him, calling him, Lord, out of a dark age of idol worship to a man who worshiped you and learned to trust in you. Father, may we also take that upon ourselves, Lord, to learn of you and to trust in you, Lord, as your servant did. Even though he made mistakes, he was yet titled the father of faith. May we also have faith, Lord, in you. And Father, as we go through your word, I just pray, Lord, that it will be your word and that, Lord, those who hear will take it within their hearts and their minds. And that also, Lord, that we will allow you to grow us to be great men and women of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Starting with the first verse, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Now keep in mind, there are great gaps and spans of time between the time that God had spoken to Abram. In James 2:23, Abram is called the friend of God. Why? Why then did God choose to wait 15 years before he had a conversation with him? Perhaps you're wondering also, why, Lord? Why does it take so long? I mean, you know, there's times we pray and we pray and we pray. We pray about certain things and we're asking God, Lord, I need to hear from you, Father God. And a lot of times we get, we lose patience, right? And we try to seek and how we can do things ourselves. And we have seen, even from Pastor Al teaching last week and me teaching the week before, how Abraham and Sarai decided to do it their way. And so a lot of times when we're waiting and waiting and we're praying to God, Lord, why is it taking you so long? Why can't I expect you, Lord, to answer me right now? And what we have to do, we have to realize that faith means we hang on to what God said previously. We just hang on. Think back for a moment to a time in the not-too-distant future when you thought nothing seems to ever be working. Nothing's working. My marriage is dying. My job, I'm having a hard time on my job. And yet, what we need to do is turn to God and trust and believe in him. We're living in an age and a time, it's like, it's horrible. I was listening to Pastor Chuck Smith the other day as I was on my treadmill, and I was listening to a video. It was called the Tide, the Riptide, and it was really something how he was describing the generation of the 60s and 70s. They were of love and peace, and the Jesus movement started out. And it, you know what? Really, it all fit together because it was about love and peace. But when you look at today's generation, it's about hatred. It's violent, and it's harder to minister to, especially the young, because it's more about anger. It's more about, you know, what I want and the direction I want to go. But the thing is, we as people, we have to understand that unless we trust in God, we too can get in that mindset. We are supposed to be the children of faith. We are to trust in God and not in ourselves. So the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. God says, I am El Shaddai, the Almighty God. See, this is something new. From this time back up to Genesis chapter 1, we didn't hear that. But now, here he's saying, I am the Almighty God. Hear me. He's establishing. And so this whole sermon is about God reaffirms the covenant. He's reaffirming his covenant with Abram. And even today, God is reaffirming that covenant with us today, because we are a people of faith. And who do we have our faith in? Who does our faith point toward. It points toward Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. It's about the cross. It's not about anything else. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. He is the Almighty. He said to Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It is through Christ that we trust in God. It is through Christ that our faith can grow. My faith cannot grow unless I trust in the Lord, unless I'm moved by him. And the only way I could do that is being led by his Holy Spirit. And you know what, church? We need to start living what this tells us. See, we say a lot of things, but do we truly live by what the Word of God says? And you know what? This could be something that could be said every Sunday morning. Are you living according to what you say that you believe in? Are you living according to the faith that this Word of God has laid out for us? Are we following that trail? So here, God is saying to Abram, be perfect, meaning that God wanted Abram to be perfect. Wow, how can Abram be perfect when he had already goofed up in the past? He could only be perfect by walking in the strength of the Lord and being obedient to God's word. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, "Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." And the question is now, how can we be perfect if we've goofed up in the past? We who put our trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are made perfect through him. We are to be led by the Spirit and become obedient to the word of God, like Abraham. We must stop trusting in self and start trusting in God, for he is El Shaddai. He is the God of my life. And see, and that's something that we have to get in order, is like, who is the God of my life? Who am I following? And it's always the who. If you're a man and woman of God, it comes down to the who. Who am I following? Who am I trusting in? Who am I believing in? And see, Abraham and Sarai, they had to come to that point also. Who am I trusting? Am I trusting myself? He goofed. And God is saying, be perfect. And the only way we could be perfect is by living through Jesus Christ. I am not perfect. You are not perfect. And yet Jesus said to us to be perfect. So how can I be perfect? I can only be perfect through the blood of the Lamb of Christ. Without his blood, without his death, I am not perfect. Without him, I can't live this life. See, God, he expects us too to walk blameless before him. We have to walk blameless before God. It's like working. You know, you get up in the morning and you shower and you go to work, you get all sweaty and you come home. Do you say, I don't need to shower? You know, a week goes by, you know, and you're like, man, when's the last time you showered? Oh, last week. You know, and so if we're not careful, we're like that with our walk in Christ. We're not praying the way we should. Our belief system is breaking down. Our trust in God is breaking down. Oh, my, I've had that happen in my life before, not trusting in the Lord. My eyes were so close to the things of God until one day it was as though someone had awakened me and said to me, when was the last time you were in church? And I thought about it and I went, oh, it's been a year. It was like that, it seemed. A year had gone. I had realized I hadn't even been talking to God. I hadn't even been praying. I had given up. I got tired of the politics of the church. I got tired of people's attitude. I got tired of hearing people say, I love you, then turn around and stab me in the back. I got tired of all that. But then God had to come and say, well, who are you trusting? Who are you putting your faith in? See, it is better to trust in God than to put confidence in man. Because when we begin to put confidence in man, you die to God. We need to die to man. You know, as far as me, I'm going to serve God and not man. I heard someone say, which was also Chuck Smith, he said that he had lost friends because he said, you know what? I got to do what God has said for me to do. My walk in Christ is not based on my friendship with anybody here. And I hope your friendship is not based on me being here. Your walk with Christ is not based on me. I hope it's based on Jesus Christ. Because see, it doesn't matter if it's family. It doesn't matter if it's your best friend. If they're wrong, they're wrong. If they're not serving Christ, they're not serving Christ. So I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not going to trust in my friends. I mean, you know, there's that trust. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm talking about a trust that you're trusting someone as though they're perfect and they can never make a mistake. I used to try to hide myself from people. I didn't want to get close to people because, you know, I used to hide my Christianity because I didn't want people to know I was a Christian because I knew I messed up a lot. And I wanted to hide it. But God said, you can't hide a light under a bushel, right? You can't hide a light. You ever try to hide light in the dark? It's impossible. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. 13 times in this chapter we find the word covenant. For it appears 13 times in 27 verses. Obviously, God is talking about the covenant. This is God's fifth appearance to Abraham. He comes now not only to make a covenant, but also to reaffirm the promise of the son that he has made, which absolutely rules out Ishmael. Paul wrote in Romans 4:19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Vern McGee said, Sarah's womb actually was a tomb. It was the place of death, and out of death came life. Isaac was born. Paul concludes by saying this about the Lord Jesus in Romans 4:25, who was delivered up because of our offense and was raised because of our justification. Life out of death, that is the promise God is now making to this man, Abraham, who is 99 years old, which means that Sarai was 89 years old. So when Isaac was born, Abram was 100 years old and Sarah 90. And this was something that was not supposed to happen. This was something, you know, she was up in age. And Abram was up in age also. It says in Genesis, verse 3, it says, then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. So God says to Abram that he will be a father of many nations. I suppose it could be said that this man has probably had more children than any other man that has ever lived on the earth, as far as we know. Because you know what's really cool? Not only was he the father of Israel, but there would be this connection with him spiritually. And that connection is faith. See, if we have the faith of Abraham, in the sense that we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he has risen again from the dead, then we are the children of Abraham because we have faith. We are following the same line. You remember when I had spoken several weeks ago, it's called walking in the path of faith, walking in Abraham's faith, walking that path. And so we have to have that faith. See, it's impossible to please God if you don't have faith. Faith is the key to our walk. Faith is the key to our strength. Faith is the key that makes us perfect in Christ. No, I'm not perfect like I look down and, you know, I'm standing up here and I'm like, yeah, I'm perfect. I'm cool. I'm up here. I'm where it's at. You know why? Because I believe in God. But as soon as something happens in my life, I drop all things. I drop my faith. So my prayer is always, Lord, let me be stern in my faith. Let me truly trust in you. And I always hear the echoing of this man in the scriptures when Jesus asked him, do you believe that I can heal your son? And he said, I believe, help my unbelief. I mean, it's almost every time I'm standing here talking to you, speaking to you about the word of God, it's like I can hear this man in the back of my mind saying, I believe, but help my unbelief. There's a lot of you. You truly want to believe. You truly want God to make a difference in your life. You truly want God to heal your marriage. You truly want God to help you with that promotion. You want God to do all these things. But you know what? We have to come down to the point of waiting upon the Lord. That's what it comes down to. And this is what Abraham did. He waited upon the Lord. Verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Now, he's not even a father yet. Well, he had Ishmael, but no, not according to the plan that God had. So here, he went from Abram to Abraham, a father of many nations. Can you imagine someone comes up to you and your name is Abraham and says, so your name is Abraham? Yeah. So how many kids do you have? I don't have any. What? And you're a father of nations? How in the world? A father of many? You have any girls? No. Boys? No. Wow. How does that happen? And see, this is how it happens. God sees beyond what our eyes can see. And see, that's why we have to follow his path. That's why we have to believe. I believe that God is taking me exactly in the direction that he wants me to go. Sometimes we become the creator. We create situations and we say, this is of God. It could be something simple. Oh, I met this guy. This guy is so nice to me. I love him. I love him so much. And he loves me. And so we're moving in together. Really? God has blessed me with this man. Or God has blessed me with this woman. I know God has blessed me. Because just so many things are happening. And we just love each other. Then why don't you get married? Oh, you know, we want to learn of each other first. We want to learn about each other. Kind of feel things out. Yeah, right. You're walking in the dark. And see, didn't that sound like the world? No. I've heard men and women of God speak that way. See, we fool ourselves into thinking that we are doing God's will. We try to create it ourselves. And that's what Abraham and Sarai tried to do. Abram and Sarah tried to do. They tried to create something that God had promised them. 10 years had gone by after God had told Abram, you know, you're going to have a son. And I can imagine, go, man, it's not happening. I'm getting old, you know. And you got to remember, I don't know why, but I hope this isn't offending me. There was no anyone. You know, it says that Abram was dead. I mean, there was no Viagra in those days. There was no help. So my strength comes from the Lord. That's what Abraham had to trust in. His strength in the Lord. And that's what I was thinking about. Like, wow, that is a miracle. Verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generation. So what kind of covenant did God make with Abraham? He made an everlasting covenant. If it is everlasting, it is good today. God promised you and me everlasting life if we will trust in Jesus Christ. That is a covenant God has made. He is going to make your covenant good, and he's going to make Abraham's covenant good. And you know what? It's good today. Whatever God says, if he says that if you trust in me, that I will take you through, trust that he will do that. We have examples right here. We have examples of what God will do if man would but keep his eyes on him. Keeping your eyes on God is the best thing that you can ever do in this life. And the covenant is constantly repeated to us. Every time we open up this word and we read it and the Holy Spirit begins to minister to us, or when we come to church or we go to Bible study, it is constantly being reminded. We're constantly being reminded of his promises. We're constantly being reminded of the love that he has for us, that he wants us to join in together with him and become one with him. And when we become one with him, then we are one with each other. And then that's where agape comes from. This is where agape is being generated. This is when the world begins to look at us and say, those people have a love that I've never seen before for one another. Oh, I pray that so much for us, that we would be able to do that. 8th verse. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So here we see where God is saying to Abram, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed or generation. And I will give unto you and to your seed after you all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. God has made a covenant with these people that is everlasting, that is an everlasting covenant. And this is what we can rely on. the covenant that he has given us through his son, Jesus Christ. I know that I know he loves me. And because he loves me, I can go through anything. Not on my own, but through him, through his help. My marriage is dying, but God can bring life to it. He brought life to Sarai, and he brought life to Abram. Now I can say Abraham and Sarah. He brought life to them. And through that, through them came Isaac, which means laughter. It wasn't a sad thing. It wasn't like, oh, I'm pregnant, Abraham. Like, it was, he was excited. Wow, we did it. You know, it was great. Don't you feel great when you find out that you were following the will of God? Isn't that a wonderful feeling? It's not about me, myself, and I. It's like, God spoke to me. God told me to keep my eyes on him, and he would take me through it. And now that I'm through it, I think and I praise God for what he has done in my life. I thank God I didn't marry that man. I thank God I didn't marry that woman, because God revealed to me what they were really like. See, we can become so deluded. We could delude our own minds into thinking that what I'm doing is right. Like Abraham and Sarah did. They felt they were doing right. Let's give God a hand. God doesn't need our help. What he needs us to do is to trust in him and believe in him. Amen? In Genesis 17:9, and God said to Abram, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So, circumcision is the badge of the covenant. The Israelites did not circumcise themselves in order to become members of the covenant. They did this because they had the covenant from God. Circumcision occupied the same place that good works occupy for the believer today. You do not perform good works in order to be saved. You perform good works because you have been saved. That makes all the difference in the world. A pastor said of himself once, when I went away from home as a boy, although I did get into a lot of trouble, the one thing that kept me from becoming an absolute renegade was the thought of my dad. I said to myself, because I am a son of my father, I won't do this or enter into that. I stayed from certain things because of my dad. Now, I did not become his son. I did not do certain things. I already was his son, but because I was his son, I didn't do them. The badge of the covenant was circumcision. The thing that put them under the covenant wasn't circumcision, but circumcision was the badge of it, the evidence of it. So everything that I do is not based on me trying to be a Christian. Everything that I do is because I am a Christian. See, that's the difference. I don't come to church to prove to anyone that I'm a Christian. I come to church because I am a Christian, because I love God. I don't pray because I'm trying to influence God or show God, look how great I am. But I pray because I am a part of God. I am a man of God. I pray. Everything that I do because that's what I am in Christ Jesus. And so, are we doing that? Are you doing that? And seeing that's what we have to ask ourselves. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Are you faithful to the work of God? Are you faithful to the things of God? And seeing this is what we continually have to ask one another. Am I faithful, God? See, we must get to the point where we have to say, God, show me your will that I will do it. May I do what you have shown me to do. Lord, help me to stop creating my own will. Help me to stop doing what I want to do and allow me to do what you want to do, because if I'm doing what you want to do, then I will be blessed. You will never be blessed if you're trying to create something for God to look down upon you and go, wow, you're a great person. No, you can only do it through faith. My faith in God. He is pleased with me when I trust in him. He is pleased with me when I trust in the saving blood of Christ Jesus, his death and resurrection. Then, God is blessed by me. Then he looks upon me and he says, you are blessed. 12th verse. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in his generation, in your generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. So have you noticed how meticulous the record concerning the birth of Christ is? All the law was fulfilled in connection with the birth of this little baby who grew up to be a great man of God, who is God incarnate. It is recorded that he was the son of Abraham, the son of David. He was the line, and on the eighth day, he was circumcised. Paul says in Galatians 4:4, he was born under the law. Jesus is the only one that lived according to the law exactly, perfectly, did nothing wrong. Every letter, every T was crossed, every I was dotted. Jesus did it all. And it is through him that the covenant, that even the commandments of God, we are able to live perfectly through Jesus Christ. I can't. Because if I try to live according to the law of God on my own, I died. As soon as I say, well, I'm going to live by the commandments of God, I just died. Because I can't live by them. It is only through Jesus Christ that I am able. Because when I have Christ as me, it's like the scripture says, greater is he that is in me that is in the world. When I trust in him, then I'm alive in him. And I become dead to the world. So, the question is again, are we alive to God? Or are we dead to God? Is your faith alive in him? Or is it dead to him? Do we continue to trust in man? Do we trust in the government? You know, there's people who trust in the government. It's unbelievable. What would happen if we took that same trust that we put in the government and we put it in God? I think God can bless us a lot more than the government could. Because from the last I've heard, the government's still taking money out of my pocket. And that alone makes me not like the government. Taking my money. I'm working for it. You guys are working. So why would we trust in the government? I trust in the Lord. That's who I'm going to trust in. That's where I'm going to be always, in him. 13th verse, he who is born in your house and he who is brought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Again, circumcision is the badge of the covenant. They did not have to do this in order to get the covenant. God had already made the covenant with them. I trust that you see this because it is so important. The same thing is true today. A great many people think that if they join the church or are baptized, they will be saved. See, and that's the whole, I've had people say, oh, if I could just get baptized, I'll be saved. No, it's like my uncle used to say, you go in a dry devil and you come out a wet devil. No, there's no difference. You know, Juan Valdez will be there, no difference. You know, so the thing is, it's what has happened in my life. That's the change. Now, this is an ugly picture, but the Jewish men didn't walk around bottomless proving that they were Jews. So why would we walk around, like, oh, I'm a Christian. That's all outward. Oh, look at me, I'm going to church. I got a big King James Bible, 1516 Bible at that, with the these and the thous. And so the thing is, it's like, no, it's not an outer appearance. It is what's going on in here. It's an inward thing. And so what the word is saying is that they didn't get circumcised to become a Jew or just to say, hey, I've been circumcised, but it's because of something that has already been done. Jesus has already died for my sins. So I don't need to be nailed to a cross every Easter to prove how close to God I am. I mean, have you ever seen that? I think it's in the Philippines and different countries where guys, they get crucified on the cross. They actually have people put nails in their hands. I don't even like putting nails in the hand to build a building. And no less in my hand. So the thing is that the work has already been done. And this is what, now all they have to do now is just follow the commandment of God. Why? Because if I'm following the commandment of God, I'm following it because I trust in God, because it is in me to trust in God. And so because I say I'm a Christian doesn't make me a Christian. You know? What makes me a Christian is that I trust that I have faith in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that he died and he rose again on the third day. 14th verse, and the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So, you're either cut the right way or you get cut the wrong way. That's what it comes down to. You cut my way, you're part of me. You get cut the wrong way, you get cut out. And that's the way it is. It's, you know, I can't go to your job place, show up a week, I wasn't hired, and then I come on the same day you do for payday, say, hey, I'm here for my check. Hey, you were never hired. Yeah, but I was with him. Well, we don't have you down. So the thing is that when I'm in Christ Jesus, all the promises are due to me, not because of who I am, but because of whom I believe in, whom I put my trust in. And that's what we as believers have to do, continue to put our trust in him. So circumcision was an outward sign, but it would speak of an inward reality, the same way the ordinance of baptism and communion do presently. Just because you take that communion does not make you a Christian. Just because you take, don't, if you choose not, I've seen people like, oh, I'm not worthy today to take the communion. Really? You know what? That's why we have that moment and that time, Lord, if there's anything in my life that I've done, or Lord, forgive me for that, and you take it, because see, that's the place, what are we doing when we do communion? We're remembering what he has done for us on Calvary. He died. So we should come to the table and take it in remembrance of him. Because see, when I sit back and go, well, I can't do that, then I'm judging myself the wrong way, because that's not what he's asking for. He's asking us to trust in him. If I judge myself, I'm going to judge myself like, man, I need to get closer to the Lord. That's what I need to do. You don't cut yourself off from the church, from the body of Christ. If anything, you go to the body and say, hey, I need some help. I need prayer. We are a family of God. We are a family of faith. And we are to trust in the Lord. Then God said to Abram, as for Sarai, 15th verse, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. So her name was changed to Sarai, which means princess. Hey, ladies, how would you like your husband to call you princess? Hey, princess. You know, hey, princess, that'd be cool, huh? Wouldn't you like that? Hey, princess, why are you calling me princess? Because you are my princess. Oh, oh. 16th verse, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Now, this is the first time Sarah is mentioned in this way. He says, she is going to be the mother of nations. Look, this blessing is just pouring off on her. And you know why this is happening the right way? Because it is beginning with Abraham, and Abraham is trusting the Lord. Thus, the blessing is even pouring off onto her family. So, you that are in a marriage that your husband or your wife isn't saved, continue to trust in the Lord. Continue to believe in him. Your family will be blessed because you are a vessel of Jesus Christ in that home. That home is sanctified because you are a child of the King. You are leading the way. You are praying. You're interceding for the family. That's a blessed house. Even if there are houses full of sinners and there's one saint, there's one true believer, that house is blessed because it could be dark. So God's plan made it plain that his son will not come out of another person, would not come out of a surrogate mother. Sarah herself will give birth, even though they goofed up God is saying, no, it's going to be Sarah. She. That's where it's going to happen. I didn't pick Hagar. I chose Sarah. Sarah. She is going to be the mother of nations. Then Abram fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? He laughed. And it wasn't a laugh of mockery. It wasn't a laugh of ha, are you kidding me? No, it was a laugh of excitement. Have you been so excited until you didn't know what to do? You just laughed. I mean, I can imagine Abram's like, you know, I'm dead. She's dead. Can't, you know, we can't do that anymore. But, you know, the scripture says they came alive. They came alive. And he's kind of laughing like, ha ha, wow. Whew, really? That is great. That is wonderful. Romans 4:17, Paul wrote this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him he believed, God. Him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that he had promised, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was able to perform what God said was going to happen. He trusted in God. And it was accounted to him as righteousness. Lord, I don't know how you're going to deal with this dead body, but you said it's going to happen. I believe it. And it caused him to laugh. Because, you know, a long time ago when I read that, you were laughing at God? No, he wasn't laughing at God. He was like, wow, this is incredible. This is incredible. I mean, I'm past that age. She's past that age. And we're going to have a son? Wow. I can understand me and Haggai, but me and Sarah, we're older than when we were then. So God can do miracles in our lives. When we think there's no way, guess who is able to make a way? Amen? God is able to make a way. Verse 18, and Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now, it's really something. Here he's laughing and he's thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. This is so great. Lord, I already have a son, Ishmael. Well, what about him? And God said, no, it's not going to be Ishmael. See, God had already made a plan, but what happened is that because Abraham and Sarai decided to plan, now things are looking messy as far as Abraham's concerned, because it's like, Lord, I already have an heir. And God said, no, he's not going to be the one. I told you it's going to be Sarah, not Haggai. It's going to be Isaac. He's even going to mention the name Isaac and not Ishmael. So I can imagine that broke his heart, because he loved that 13-year-old kid. He loved him. That's my son. You're cutting him out of the deal? No, I didn't cut him out of the deal. You did. That's what it comes to. See, a lot of times we blame God for a lot of things. We mess up. We mess up horribly. And he's like, oh, God, you know, I know I stepped ahead of you. I know Sarah and I made that deal, and we had the child, and Haggai left, and then you brought her back, and she had the baby, and, you know, there was a little problems. But Ishmael, Lord. And he said, no. So what Abram really wanted God to do, and what we always want God to do, oh God, I messed up. Bless my mess. He will not bless your mess. He will not bless my mess. He will not bless anybody's mess. He said that this is the way I want it to be, and this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to be Ishmael. And a lot of times people don't realize that broke his heart. Even though he knew he messed up. But bless it. And we do that. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And then we say, Lord, bless it. Fix it. And when he doesn't fix it, we get angry. We stop coming to church. We don't talk to the pastor. We don't talk to each other. We don't return phone calls. What's wrong? I'm mad at God. Why? I made a mess and he wouldn't bless it. You know, and that's the way we are at times. We are a funny people. We're strange. I said that to myself one time in the mirror. I said, man, you're strange. And it was weird. I agreed. Verse 19, then God said, so Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, which is laughter. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him, not Ishmael's, but after Isaac's. Now, isn't it really something? God is speaking to Abram in a present tense and not in a past tense, but in a present. He's talking as though Isaac is there right now. See, because God could see a lot farther than we can. Abraham couldn't. All he could see was his darling son, his one and only son that came from him. That's all he could see. He couldn't see this guy by the name of Isaac. He couldn't see the whole plan of God. So he wanted what he could see. And that's what our problems, we want what we can see now. Lord, this is what I see and this is what I want now. I love that man. I love that woman. I want him now. And then we get married. Oh, God, bless him to become a man of God. Oh, God, bless her that she come to church with me. Oh, God. We start crying out to God. And you know what we're doing? God, I messed up. Bless it. That's what we're saying to God. And he says, I'm not going to do it. You are going to have to go through it. And 18th verse, and Abram said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You see that? Oh, that Ishmael. Oh, God, if you could just bless that mess that I made. If you could just bless. But God said no. In the 19th verse, then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. It's like, I've heard you. The answer is the same. No. Still no. But God, I love him. No. Not happening. See, we try to tell God what to do. We try to explain to God how things should go. We try to do that. Look, God, basically you don't understand my situation here. But God says, no, I do understand your situation. You made a mess and you expect me to bless it. I'm not blessing it. No. And that's what he's saying to Abram. No. He's saying no. But yet, again, he establishes that covenant that he told Abram about Ishmael. He's going to be blessed. I'm going to bless him because he's a part of you. He didn't cut the blessing off from Ishmael. He continued with that blessing. In the 21st verse, it says, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Finally, he gets a year. Next year. Don't you wish God would say something like that to you? Oh, it's not going to happen this month. It's going to happen next month. Oh, okay, God, I'm ready for it. I can do it now. Sometimes I would like to think that I would, but I would go, oh, man, I'd be glad when next month is here. And then before you know it, I'm thinking about so much about next month until my mind is no longer on God. I'm thinking about next month. But God, he lets him know, it's going to happen next year. This is the first time God actually put a time on it. You know, 10 years or more later, he says, next year this is going to happen. Okay, I'm 98 now. No, 99. Sarah's 8. Oh, I'm going to be 100 years old. Wow. You're really going to have to be a God of miracles. 23rd. So Abraham took Ishmael, his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abram's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin that very same day as God had said to him. He did it. After the no, 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 he said, okay, I'm doing it your way. And he did it. He went out and he did that. And what's interesting is, although Ishmael is at this point, he was about 13 years old, Abram Abraham did not say, hey, Ishmael, is it okay if I circumcise you? He did it. He just did it. He took the responsibility as a father. He didn't let anyone else do it. He said, I'm going to circumcise my son. And he did it himself. And see, that's what we need to do as parents. We need to stop asking our kids for permission. We need to start telling them what the way things are going to go. When we say no, no is no. That's it. You know, show me some love. That's what you do. You know, it's that love. I used to look my son straight in the eye. I am not your friend. I am your father. I had to draw the line. You got to draw that line. You know, they looked at me like, you're weird. I said, I know that. I told myself in the mirror. You know, because you're saying, you're not my friend. I am not your friend. I'm your father. There's a big difference. And see, and that's the distinguish that's something that is being lost between the relationship between the parents and their kids. Parents are trying to be friends. See, God says, you want to be my friend? Follow exactly what I tell you to do. That's all you have to do. You don't need to go out there cutting yourself, doing sacrifices, doing all this. Just do what I tell you to do, and we can be friends. That's that unconditional love. Follow me, you will be blessed. I'm the best thing that could ever happen to you. That's what God says. That he's the best thing that could ever happen to us. So he did it the same day. He didn't waste time. He got right into it, and he did it. In the 24th verse, Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. All I can say is, ouch. Twenty-fifth verse. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So again, circumcision is a badge of the covenant which God has made with Abram. And that's something that we have to realize. There's things that God has done for us. Each individual here, we have that part of that faith in our life that we trust God. Some of us have greater faith than others, and some we're still working on, and some are not as strong in the Lord as others. But you know what? It's the same faith, and all we need to do is continue to trust and to grow. Allow God to grow you, because this is why Abraham became the man of faith, the father of faith, because he allowed God to grow him. I don't want to find myself in the same position I'm in Even next month. I want to grow more and more in God. I want to trust more and more in him. I want to be like Abram. When God said do it, I want to just do it. Why are you doing that? Because God said do it. I didn't form this in my mind. I didn't create it in my mind. God said do it. And I'm doing it. And that's what he did. I can imagine people saying, Father Abraham, what's going on? You're doing what? And that's what he did. Everybody, even the slaves were circumcised. Everybody was circumcised. If they bought them, if you were part of the camp, you got it. You got cut. 26. That very day, Abram was circumcised and his son Ishmael. It said it twice. Can you imagine Abram if he would have said, but I'm old? Don't expect me to be stretched or to enter into a new experience, spirituality? Not so. Abram did it. Even though he's 99, he says, okay, let's do it. Some of us, we're like, oh, I'm too old. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. And we're not even talking about circumcision, because I would like, ooh, dude, I don't know. But we're like that even now. God will speak to our hearts, oh, that can't be God, because I don't want to do it, so it can't be God. God only tells me things I want to do. He doesn't tell me things I don't want to do. So based on that, it's not God. And that's what we do. We sit down and rationalize what God is saying to us rather than just doing it. God said, do it, do it. And that's why we suffer at times. Sometimes God, he spanks us. He says, okay, you want to do it? Go ahead. But don't ask me to bless that, because I'm not doing it. And see, the world today, especially in the United States, they're trying to force God's hand into doing what they want. The churches today are joining together with society. It's a societal evolution. The church cannot exist being the way it was, you know, in the Bible days or following the word. You gotta adjust to society. And you know, when we begin to do that in the church or in our private lives, you know, we're no longer following God. We're no longer considered the people of faith. He is yet our God. We are yet his children, but we're not in line with him. So I can imagine. He just said, okay, let's do it. You know what happens to us sometimes? Sometimes we look back in the past and say, oh, if it could just be like in the 60s and the 70s and the Jesus movement. Oh, if it could just be like this. Oh, if I could be young again. God says, no, you're not young again. I've seen some 70-year-old women with their hair purple and pink in it, wringing the nose. And I'm like, wow. That's all I can say is wow. I have no other explanation for it, just wow. You know, that's grandma. She's trying to look hip. And all the men of his house, born in the house of, or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. So Abraham's belief in the covenant was proved by his obedience to the command. What we really believe will show in our actions. And you know what this reminds me of? Stop saying you have faith. I have faith! Forget you. Your faith is to be in God. You know what? Your faith will shine forth. I don't have to walk around telling people I have faith. I'm just going to live according to the word of God, in the simplicity of his gospel. That's it. That is it. I don't need the lights and the glamour. That's scary. I don't want to be in the light. And also, Abraham's obedience was complete. It was prompt and daring. Abraham didn't need to pray about this. Oh, that bugs me. That bugs a pastor. Hey, could you help us with that? Pastor, let me pray about it. Really? I mean, what if Abraham would have told God, hey, Abraham, I want you to circumcise yourself. Let me pray about it, Lord. That sounds pretty. That's wow, you've come to a quick conclusion there, Lord. You know? But no, he did it. He did it the same day. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for any sign, a wonder. He did it because he believed in God. So he didn't need to pray. God said and he did it. This is a wonderful example of obedience from a great man of faith. What about us? When we say to God, Lord, I have faith, or Lord, tell me what direction you want me to go and I'll go. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. Do we really mean it? Do we have the obedience of Abraham who allowed God to form him into a man of faith? May we become obedient to God's word. May we truly learn to trust him. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord. Let us dare to believe that in our life he is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And see, and that's where it comes down to. I believe so much until it is the greater part of my life. And we fail as men and women of God when he is not the greater part of our lives. And yet expect things from him. He is not Santa Claus. He is not a genie. It's not how much you pray or how hard you pray. I've been involved in so many things growing up in the church and seeing so many things. I've been spit in the face while someone's praying for me and I couldn't pray because I'm trying to like, dude, this dude is showering me. You know, I've been forced to the floor. I've been, you know, all those things. But it's not about that. It's about the faith of a child, believing with all your heart that he is your God, that he is your El Shaddai. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father God, I just thank you so much for who you are. I thank you, Lord, again, for the example you've given us through your servant, Abram, Lord. And Lord, our desire, Father God, is that we too, Lord, will allow you to form in us a more belief in you, a system, Lord, that allows us to follow you. And Lord, not the system that we create, but the system, Lord, that you have already laid out for each of us. Each and every individual in this place, Lord, you have a plan for. And I just pray, Lord, that as your people, as individuals, Lord, that we, Lord, will line up with that plan that you have given us, Lord. That, Lord, that we will take your covenant seriously. For you said, Lord, that if we trust in you, Lord, if we trust in you, Lord, that we would live, Lord, in you. That, Lord, that if we trust in your son, Jesus Christ, that we will live for eternity. That, Lord, that you're coming back again. Even though there are those who are saying, when will he come back? They've been saying that for 2,000 years. And yet, Lord, we wait upon you. Oh, God, grow us. Grow us to be a people of faith, of truth. We love you. We honor you. We glorify you. You are El Shaddai. Be God in our lives. Be God over our lives. Be God over our families. And we will always give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.